good morning, a Wednesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, it looks like New York has a budget agreement. New York lawmakers poised to pass a new state budget. And the more than $150 billion spending plan apparently keeps taxes flat, increases public education spending by more than $1 billion. It includes $2.5 billion for water infrastructure upgrades, expanded child care tax credits and provisions, allowing Uber and Lyft to expand upstate. And while the details have not been out yet, apparently there's an agreement that includes increasing the age of criminal responsibility, so 16 and 17-year-old offenders aren't prosecuted and incarcerated as adults, as well as the increased college tuition.
Well, they had to get there some way. The Senate and the Assembly obviously have different priorities. After all, the Senate are Republicans, but they need the breakaway senators who have been supporting them from the Democratic Party. And that group obviously has to watch its behind because they come from Democratic districts. So they've got a fair amount of leverage if they want to continue what they're doing. The guy you're going to keep your eye on, of course, is Governor Andrew Cuomo, because Cuomo has always been somewhat, we think, supportive of the Republican agenda. He's known as a moderate. He wants to run for president. And while he denies all of that, the fact is, look at what you do, not what you say. So Cuomo becomes the big broker in this, and Cuomo looked like he was going to walk away. It's very interesting because he said, well, they'll do it now or they'll do it when they get back, because the fact that they didn't have a budget means they were operating under a budget extender, which meant all the school systems and everybody else had to use the same formula that they were using up to now. And that was actually saving the state money, because obviously there's inflation built in for school districts and everybody else, and they weren't going to get that. Plus, state workers were either not going to get paid or paid late, depending on who you were listening to. You know, ho-hum, another day in Albany.
Well, let's stick with New York for a second. I'm reading in Syracuse.com this morning, Alan, that defense lawyers have recommended that a federal trial be scheduled no earlier than January 2018 for Joseph Prococo, the former top aide to Governor Andrew Cuomo, charged with corruption, and three other defendants, including Core Development Executive Stephen Aiello and Joseph Girardi. What do you make of that?
Well, the first thing you think of is, okay, how does this fit in with the Cuomo agenda? Now, we know that Preparara, who was bringing this case, was fired by President Trump. So who's making deals with who in order to make this thing happen? Is it better for Trump that if Cuomo was going to oppose him in a presidential election, is it better for the trial to be postponed so that just when Cuomo is peaking and running for governor, this trial comes up, which is expected to seriously embarrass the governor? It is always in the interest of the defense to keep these trials going, and that is what is happening here. But one can't begin not to suspect that some arrangement is going on that is ultimately political.
Let's go to Syria, where we've seen the worst chemical attack in years. The U.S. is blaming Assad, the Syrian leader. The president says it's a consequence of the last administration's weakness and irresolution. Another article that fact-checks the president for faulting the Obama administration on Syria says he's contradicted himself, having said before that his advice would have been Syria is not our problem.
Think about that. That's right, David. Here's a guy who is all over the place, says one thing one day, another thing another day, who made it plain from the very beginning that Putin, who supports Assad, was his friend. Think about that for a minute. When you're Assad and you now have the Russians and you think you have the president of the United States, you drop chemical weapons on people and it's horrific. Now the president has to do something. So he comes out and says, okay, you shouldn't have done that. But his words, which basically encourage the Russians and the Russians' clients, namely Syria, have had a lot of consequences. That's one foreign policy disaster. Another, of course, is North Korea. Right now, the day before President Xi comes from China, they're testing nuclear missiles again. It's a sure sign. And China, of course, doesn't like what we're doing because we're arming the South Koreans with anti-missile defenses. And that, of course, is something that has bothered China for a long time. So this is very serious. I think it's the most serious crisis the United States has faced for a long time. And I think in some ways, the words uttered by Trump have led to this. And of course, he's going to blame Obama, who kept the lid on all of this time on this incredibly difficult situation.